This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hi, this is David Cone. The Michael K. Show starts now. Don't screw it up, boys.
We will certainly try our best, but absolutely no guarantees. Coney, Peter Rosenberg, Donald Marco LaGreca on a Monday, a sort of nice, sort of on the verge of raining Monday here
in
the Tri-State.
It, though. It was like 67 at one point when I was driving in. There's nothing wrong with that.
How was your weekend? Did you take advantage of the beautiful Sunday or what?
I did. I had, we'll talk about it in more detail later, just an unbelievable like hour and a half with my son in the backyard.
Wow. Oh, that sounds good already.
In which pretty much every sport was represented. And a sixth was thrown out there and attempted. I don't know if anybody's ever had a sixth sport day with their son or daughter. I did yesterday afternoon.
So,
well, the daughter was horseback riding, by the way, because I guess we've hit that financial scale where Jalen was horseback riding with my wife every Sunday morning.
Now, I'm
not a horse that I own, but just,
you don't own a horse, Don?
No.
Get yourself together. I checked out the cherry blossoms in D.C. yesterday.
That's a thing.
Well, it's very much
especially
a thing.
Especially when you're with a fiance who fancies herself as a tremendous photographer.
Correct. So it was a very interesting situation, actually, because I waited for the weather to get good. I don't know if you remember on the Friday show, I told you it's pretty nice down here. But then it got gray, and Don, it poured for 2 days. Aww. We decided to wait it out until Sunday.
And it was worth it.
I, by the way, I'm very proud of myself. I was a very good partner. I drove her. She wanted to get sunrise. And, you know, I value the sleep in on the old weekend.
Sure, of course.
But Sunday, I got up, drove her down. Sunrise wasn't too early. It was like 7:07. It wasn't awful. Took her down, dropped her off. I drove around for a while. And then later in the day, we went out to Kenwood, which is like the suburbs where they have the cherry blossoms. I will say this. It's a beautiful tree.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that.
They make a good tree.
No, it makes a great tree.
Yeah.
I'm proud of
that. Wasn't that a gift from the Japanese?
That is correct, sir.
Yeah.
They gave us 3,000 cherry blossoms. And then, here's some trivia for you. You're a Jersey man. Do you know where the most cherry blossoms in the country are?
Cape May?
Belleville, New Jersey.
Belleville?
Yeah. In something, Branchbrook Park or something.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
Neither did I. Ebro told me today, and I looked it up, and I said, oh, my God, they're actually... Listen, I'm proud of the D.C. one, so I'll say D.C.'s number one. But this looked pretty damn good.
It's worth the trip. It's not that far, I would
think. And by the way, you'd have to go literally... if it's like D.C., you'd have to go, like, by tomorrow. If this is it. They're up there for, like, 4 or 5 days, and they're gone.
Excuse my ignorance on this. I just can't think of an answer. Because I just thought, like, the French were very nice, and they gifted us the Statue of Liberty.
Mm-hmm. Lovely, thank you.
And the Japanese were very nice to gift us the cherry blossoms in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Are we good gifters?
It's a great question. Yeah, we gift... you know what, Anthony? Anthony said something in my ear that almost trolled me to saying something that I'm not going to say. We do give things to the world. Gifts like that, I'm sure we do.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about financial support or, hey, yeah, we'll throw our hat in the ring in this war.
No, what would we give?
I don't know.
Like, here's hamburgers. You're going to love these burgers.
But from what you know of the French, would you think we'd get the Statue of Liberty? Was it because it's kind of like the Eiffel Tower?
I got to tell you. No, because there is another Statue of Liberty there.
Well, there you go. You learn something new every day.
I believe that is one of the great gifts of all time, to give someone that. I mean, come on. Think about how elaborate that is. That's not Jeter giving you a basket after a fun night. I mean, that's something.
Well, it's a gift that we use as part of, like, who we are, right?
Oh, it's a huge... And by the way, just like the Statue of Liberty here, Natalie's asking me questions about the cherry blossoms. I'm like, I don't think I've ever gone.
See, that's the thing. I've never been to the Statue of Liberty.
Right. No one goes. And so your friends come to visit and go, hey, we'd like to do this. Can you take us? And you go,
My grandparents had to go through Ellis Island to get here. My dad's side, because they were born in Italy. So it's a part of my culture. It's a part of everybody's culture. But I've never been.
All right. Well, we have a lot to get into today. Michael will be joining us after the Yankee game.
At some point.
Sorry.
We're now to the, what would you call it? The like the vapor of spring training now. Like, what are we doing?
Can I tell you? Why is he doing today?
Well, no, he's doing today because I guess it's probably the last spring training game. You've got to do the last one. But like a lot of the teams, they're already back home. Like
getting ready to roll.
Let's do this. Let's have this happen already.
We will. We'll get to everything. Hey, it's Alan Hahn. We'll get to
where?
He was right there. He gave us a peace sign and walked.
That's it. That's
sweet, handsome man.
That's kind of his thing, right?
Just
throughout the whole.
Come on. He's big time. He's got. By the way, he's got to get ready. I don't know if you know. There's a big Knicks game tonight. Knicks.
So we're lucky to even see.
That's right. Knicks Rockets tonight.
That's no joke. It's been 3 days. You got to, Peter.
No, it's bad.
What's tomorrow's show? If they lose to the Rockets.
Well, you know what? I want to throw this out here early, even though we're going to talk football for a moment. I want to throw this out here now. Knicks fans, please, just I don't, no right, no wrong. How are you going to be feeling tomorrow if they lay an egg against the Rockets?
They can't do it. They just can't.
But are people still going to be like, don't worry about it, don't get down on them? Or are they going to be like, oh my God, this is actually getting scary? Or does it depend how the loss goes?
Listen, Knicks fans, God love them. I want to give them a big, huge hug. There was a guy on Twitter this weekend. He sent it to you and Michael, too. I don't know if you paid attention to it. Like, giving me examples that he's got Randall's back and sending me video of Patrick Ewing ripping into John Starks as an equivalent to what Randall did with Quickly the other night. It's like, see? It happened before. I've got Randall's back. It's no big deal. No big deal. They had a 40-minute closed-door meeting about it. The voice of the team, Mike Breen, was critical of it. Don't send me video of Patrick Ewing ripping into John Starks.
Totally.
What does that have to do? You think Julius Randle's Patrick Ewing?
Well, and you think Quickly is Starks? None of it adds up.
You talk about false equivalency.
And also the relationship that Ewing and Starks had. Let's hear Julius Randle, though. We're going to get to the football, but
why not?
Let's hear from Julius Randle while we're talking about it. He talked about the situation in Orlando. Julius?
Wrote about.
Here we go.
Emmanuel, I think, was asked on the road about the halftime. You know, he was trying to calm me down and you weren't calming down, and he said it's just sports. It's pro sports, and it happens, and that's it. Do you see it the same way, or do you go to him later and say, hey, you know, I'm sorry for yelling at you and not calming down when you were trying to calm me down, or you just move on and that's it?
I mean, what happens within our team is, you know, happens within our team, so you know, I'm not going to speak on specifics of how we handle things, but at the end of the day, we're a team, we're good, and we just focus on winning.
So that was a what they like to call a nothing burger with cheese.
Oh, you're kidding? With lots of cheese, lots
pickles,
of ketchup.
Pickles, mayo, ketchup, the whole thing. Michael ain't touching that nothing burger. I mean, yeah, I get that that you want to keep things private, but it would have been nice to hear him actually address what happened. I don't know if it happened elsewhere.
But it's also, even getting back to the guy that tweeted me over the weekend, it's just a part of what happened with Quickly. It's also his meltdowns at the end of games. He's not reliable in big spots at the end of games. He's a terrific player. There's no question about that. But I think he has a little bit more faith in himself than maybe everybody else does. And it's whether it's the Randall handle, how he talks to other players on the court, his inability to come up with a big shot in the big moment is all part of his game. Yeah, he scored 56 the other night. We know how good he can be. But to be a true star and get calls, you can't act that way.
All right, let's get into the football of it all now, Don. It's time. We'll get back to the Knicks throughout the day, of course, and it's all on the table at 1-800-919-3776. Lamar Jackson took to Twitter at 10:48 this morning. I'm going to read you the whole thread. A letter to my fans. I want to first thank you for all the love and support you consistently show towards me. All of you are amazing, and I appreciate y'all so much. I want you all to know not to believe everything you read about me. Let me personally answer your questions in regards to my future plans. As of March 2nd, I requested a trade from the Ravens organization, for which the Ravens have not been interested in meeting my value. Any and everyone that's met me or been around me knows I love the game of football, and my dream is to help a team win the Super Bowl. You all are great, but I had to make a business decision that was best for my family and I. No matter how far I go or where my career takes me, I'll continue to be close to my fans of Baltimore, Flock Nation, and the entire state of Maryland. You'll see me again. Well, yeah, they'll probably see you next season.
Yeah,
things are going.
Well, they're going to see you next season.
Opening day.
Because you made the trade request. They still franchised you. because they want two first overall picks. The Ravens are telling the world, you want Lamar Jackson? Give me two first round picks, and then you sign him to the guaranteed contract. Crickets. Crickets. And why would they trade him for nothing when they know they can get two first round picks if somebody wanted to give him the contract? Because why would you trade for him? At least if I give you the two first round picks, I've made a tacit agreement with him that we're going to sign him, we're going to have him. There's no such agreement if I just trade a couple of players or a couple of unknown picks to you. I still have to give him a guaranteed contract that he wants. That's not going to happen.
Wouldn't think so.
So he's under the franchise tag, and he'll play. And it'll behoove him to play well if he's ever going to want to get the contract that he wants. Where's he going?
Now, in your eyes, does Lamar saying this impact the way you view the situation with regards to the Jets in any way?
I don't see how it does, because how is it any different than it was 5 minutes ago?
Yeah, not. Except, if anything, he seems a little more desperate.
This is a man that realizes that he's out of chips. What else is he going to do? He's got to play. Is he going to sit out and not play? All he's doing is resetting his clock. Like, he's going to have to play. He's franchised. It would behoove him to go out there and kick butt so that maybe he could convince somebody to give him the contract. So I guess he's just trying to see if he can win some of the fans back. What team is going to offer a deal? Nobody's offered the two first-round picks. Nobody wants to give him the guaranteed money. Cleveland is sitting there as the only team willing to do it for a better quarterback. Put all the Watson stuff aside off the field, Peter. He's the better quarterback.
Well, I feel strongly about that, yeah. I'm bullish on that.
And we didn't even bring up Lamar's injuries. Now, according to Schefter and Chris Mortensen back in the day, Lamar Jackson turned down a contract from Baltimore that included $133 million guaranteed, $175 million guaranteed for injury, and $200 million in total guarantees if he's on the roster on the fifth day of the 2026 league year. He turned that down. So that's what you have to do. You have to offer him more than that if you're going to make this deal. So are the Jets going to pivot and say, oh, I'll make a deal with Baltimore? Well, Baltimore still franchised them. Why is Baltimore going to take less than the two first-round picks? And why would a team offer less to get somebody that you're not guaranteed to sign? Unless you're willing to just give him whatever he wants. Yeah, and is that better than Rodgers then?
It depends. Listen, it depends how you feel about the guaranteed money. I can't imagine doing it. So you're saying better than 200 guaranteed?
Right. According to the reports, is that's what he turned down. Unless he just wanted out of Baltimore and would sign for less someplace else, but I don't know that.
Here's John Harbaugh on Lamar's tweet.
I haven't seen the tweet. It's an ongoing process. I'm following it very closely, just like everybody else is here, and looking forward to a resolution. I'm excited. Thinking about Lamar all the time, thinking about him as our quarterback. We're building our offense around that idea, and I'm just looking forward to getting back to football, and I'm confident that's going to happen.
So Baltimore's saying to you, he's our quarterback in 2023.
Yeah.
So what cards does Lamar hold? He'll be pulling the Le'Veon Bell if he doesn't play.
Well, the only way he gets any cards is if it really starts to seem like the Packers are not going to work with the Jets in the way they want them to. And then the Jets decide, all right, we have to be capable of another option here. And we know one thing. They cannot go in now to the 23 season without one of these guys. I mean, it would be brutal to the fan base if they don't have one of them. Do you think at this point, if it completely fell through with Rodgers, and the next day they sign Lamar Jackson, you think the average Jets fan would feel okay?
Yes. I think they'd feel okay. I don't know how the Jets would feel about it.
Right. Financially, certainly.
Because that's where I think it would happen. I don't think, because you heard Robert Saleh saying Rodgers is our guy. We haven't heard anything from Joe Douglas. If they pivoted to Lamar Jackson because the Packers said, listen, we're not going to make a deal with you. Aaron Rodgers is going to be our quarterback in 2023. Woody Johnson would be the one to knock on Joe Douglas's door and say, listen, give two first-round picks to the Ravens. We've got to move forward. We have to have Lamar Jackson. I have to save face. I said I was going to pay big money for a big-time quarterback. Who else is out there besides these two?
Which, to your point, would probably be, yeah, that means the inner brass of the team might not feel great, but Johnson would feel like he did enough, did something.
Now, the worst-case scenario for the Jets would be they lose out on Rodgers and a team like the Patriots decide, we'll give two first-round picks for Lamar Jackson. We'll sign him, and then you got nobody, and the other great quarterback signs in your division, and now you're in big-time trouble. But it doesn't seem like any team wants to give guaranteed money to Lamar Jackson and have to give up two first-round picks for the right to do it, for the privilege to do it.
So do you agree? Who was the article that Ryan sent us today? Who wrote it again? I'll pull that up. But do you...
Jameson Hensley.
Okay. Do you agree with that sentiment that if you're the Jets, don't get scared here, hold your ground, the Packers are going to cave?
That would be my logic, because if the big rub is the 13th overall pick, on the morning of April 28th, that's gone. Because the day before, you would have taken a player at 13 overall. And really, do you care beyond that? Honestly, does any Jet fan care what they give up beyond the 13th overall pick? Like, once you make your selection in the first round this year, do you care about giving up a first round pick in 2024? Or 2025 if Rodgers comes back?
Right.
Would you care?
I wouldn't think so. No, I think the only one you'd be thinking about is 13. And if there's a player that's someone you really like.
So isn't that your leverage? As long as you're cool with having to wait till April 27th, and heck, we're almost done with March. It's only another month.
And no one else is going to step in and try to get in the Rodgers game at this point.
Has anybody? Have we heard any rumblings at all? Have we heard the Packers threaten to trade him to the NFC? And if so, where? Saints have their quarterback. Carolina looks like they've got their quarterback. I'm sure there's other teams that might throw their hat in the ring if they know that Rodgers became available. But for all of the leverage that the Packers supposedly have, has there been any conversation that they would broaden their places to the NFC?
No, it doesn't feel like people want to have to give up that much money for that short a time for a player who can, you don't know what he's going to be over the next couple of years. You can assume what he's going to be, but you can't know.
And who else is in the position the Jets are in? Are the Raiders in the Jets' position? Do the Raiders have the talent the Jets have? Do the Raiders feel like they're a quarterback away?
We are in the middle of game time, brought to you by Tullamore Dew Irish Whiskey, and it's time to go to the phones, 1-800-919-3776. We go to Mike in Brooklyn. Mike, what's up, man?
Hey, how you doing, fellas? How's things?
Good.
I want to talk about Lamar Jackson. You know, Lamar Jackson made a mistake not hiring an agent. You need an agent. But he's within his right. He's the MVP. I mean, should he try to break the bank? Yes. I mean, did the Browns give this guy a bad contract? Yes, but it wasn't the first fully guaranteed, because we got to go back to Kirk Cousins with a 3-year. Mm-hmm. Now, if you can get him a four-year, even 5-year fully guaranteed, you got to give him something. The guy brings something to the team.
I know.
And character.
He's also in a weird spot, too, Mike, because the Deshaun contract did hurt him. I think he thought at the time it helped him, but now it seems like it's hurt him because everyone seems to think the contract was crazy.
Yeah, it scared all the general managers and owners in the NFL, apparently. But
no, it was crazy.
Yeah, it is. And then it didn't help that in the 8 games, whatever it was, 9 games that Deshaun was back for, he wasn't good. That didn't make it look. I don't think people would have talked about it as much if he lit it up when he came back, but he didn't.
But you've said it, I've said it, Watson's the better player, everything being equal. Lamar only played in 10 games last year. It has been some injuries that he's had to suffer through. But as far as, like, you don't have to do anything. Technically, he's under contract for next year under the franchise tag. I don't know what else he could do but go out there and just kill it in 2023 and apply more pressure. Stay healthy, play all 17 games, play at an MVP level. Maybe you'll change some hearts and minds. What else is he left to do? The Ravens look like they're moving forward with him as the quarterback. Don't dare hold out. What good's that going to do?
Let's go to Jay in Newark. What's up, Jay?
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing today? Hope you had great weekends, man.
You too, man.
Thank you. Listen, so I consider myself a bit of a rare bird. I consider myself a rational Knicks fan.
Wow.
But I mean, yeah, I think I am. And I don't think saying that this is a must-win today is in any way, shape, or form irrational. You know, this team, you know, the frustrating thing about this team is they play down to the competition, which is, it just frustrates you. You get beat by a Minnesota team without Cat and Edwards. Then you get blown apart offensively by a team that's like dead last in just about every offensive category there is. And then you lose to Orlando. You can't go in. You got to win big against Houston, man. We can't go into the playoffs losing against a team like Houston. And the guy that frustrates me the most is R.J. Barrett, because it seems as he goes, the team goes. If he plays well, we're like world stoppers. If he plays bad, you know, we can't beat anybody. And, you know, we know what Randall is. We know his shortcomings at, you know, late in the games and him handling the ball in the top of the key. You know, we got to get a big win. And, you know, I've never been the guy to say, you have to do this at all costs. But this is a game that the Knicks have to win and win big. None of those games where you give it back in the fourth quarter and you just scoop through with you know, a two-point win. No, they got to go in there and they got to crush these dudes, man. You got to go in and you got to make a statement.
Jay, you are 100% correct. 100%.
Yeah, man.
I'd give you a bear hug if we were together. If they lose this game tonight to the second-to-last team in the NBA, they've got 18 wins, go away. I don't care that you're making the playoffs. I don't want to hear from you. You've had 3 days off. You're well-rested. You're going up against a lousy team in your building. You got to win. And you know what else, Jay, I agree with? I don't know if Peter will agree. You win this game by a couple of points on a last-second shot, win in overtime, win unimpressively. You know what? I'm not going to feel great about it either. This is one of those games. Go out there, belt them, knock them around pillar to post. I'll feel a lot better about this team. I think style points count tonight. Maybe not for the standings, but my own mentality about this team, style points matter.
That's right, man. None of those vanilla press conferences either about we're a team and we love each other. I don't hear none of that. Like, my rest out the window, man. Go out there, get back on the horse, man, and go into this playoff with something that feels like, you know, like a team that's supposed to compete in May and June. If they blow it up today, I'll wait till next season, man. It's just that serious. You can't lose to Houston laying those three eggs, man. I'm not trying to hear that.
Jay, thank you, man. Jay and Newark, great call. We appreciate it. Let's go to Griffin in Connecticut. Oh, Griffin in Connecticut. How you been?
Just hey,
say
what's
it
up?
As if it's just any
Sorry.
Other Griffin in Connecticut.
Well, it said CT. It didn't register properly. I didn't see Griffin in Connecticut right now. Griffin, how are you, Griffster?
Good. Let me get to my point, and then I have a word you rather for Peter, and I think it'll be very difficult.
Okay.
So, I think with Lamar Jackson, I know he wants to get traded, and I know he believes that he's worth this much money, he's worth this much guaranteed, but the problem with Lamar Jackson is, when is he ever healthy? He really is never healthy, and what is more dangerous, I feel like, for Lamar Jackson, is the dude runs a lot. So I'm worried about when he gets older, just like Josh Allen, how many hits will body take before he starts getting hurt, and really his body dials down a lot. Quarterbacks that run a lot, I don't feel like last longer than quarterbacks like Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes that throw, but they run once in a while.
He I know, listen, it's obviously a totally fair argument. I will say, I think his history of injuries is the one thing I think is a little overstated. You know, he's missed three games like three times. But it's not like he's constantly out. That's kind of become the narrative. All right, we got a break. Tell me, what was the would you rather?
So your Commanders get, let's say, I don't, any star quarterback. Let's say they get Lamar Jackson.
Okay.
They win the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But it's the only Super Bowl they get in your whole entire lifetime. But Natalie and Michael and Don get to invite whoever they want to the wedding.
Well, let's see, Griffin. Natalie, Michael, and Don get to... Well, first of all, Natalie can't invite whoever she wants to the wedding.
That's kind of the bride's...
So that's already out the window. The bottom line is this. The bigger question is, would I take a ring now to never get one again for the rest of my life?
That's the better question.
That's the real question. I'll think about that and tell you after the break.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Enjoyed the content, the Yankees. That was like almost a little un-Yankee-like. It was like a new Yankee vibe to like release the sort of behind-the-scenes videos.
It was cool. It was on Facebook, at least the one I got sent. And just the way Aaron made it seem like it, tough days.
By the way, that's a big thing, though. That's like cool. That's like a new...
Yeah.
You're unbelievable.
I've been seeing that a lot now in the sports. Ron Rivera did it when they did the behind-the-scenes of the Pro Bowlers, and they did the same gimmick. Hard day, blah, blah, blah.
And so that was cute.
Very cute.
And emotional, and I feel a little bit of an attachment to him. I got to see him play a lot with the Somerset Patriots, and he's a local kid, so this is a great, great story. But before we get to that, and we'll do more when Michael's done with the Yankees. So I watch it on Facebook, and then my thumb kind of moves, and I flip down to a video that was under it, and it was very disturbing.
Well, please go
I don't
ahead.
Know if anybody else did this. It was about like a couple that was getting married, and the I don't want to say boy, the young man, all of a sudden finds an attraction to the mom. And like, what video is this on Facebook?
This is where we. This is
what happened was it got like it was to the point there was some confusion. I didn't know if this was also like meant for the. Like to be tweeted or text to me, like so. I'm like, what is this video? I got to show it to you. It's very weird.
And I got to see if I could find it under when I look, or if it was just your algorithm.
You think it was just my algorithm?
I don't know. I don't use Facebook.
I don't use Facebook hardly at all.
I'm off. Like I don't even have.
I would have been done with Facebook, but there's still some pictures on there.
I know
that I haven't had time to load off.
I probably lost some pictures that I cared about, but my guess
it was
is
probably worth it because Facebook is
well soon up. By the way, Twitter is counting down. I'm almost at the end here.
Oh, I'm very close.
When this thing comes out, the $8 verified check, can you imagine what the news cycle is going to start to be like when no one can tell who's verified?
So
anymore?
They will take my check away.
Correct. You are in,
then
you are,
that will be the day I'm done. When that happens, I'll be done.
Now, just explain yourself further because people hear that. And they think it's because you care so much about your blue check and that you want to feel better than everyone.
No, I just want people to know that it's me. Like I because a lot of things happen. But you can get people like claiming that they're me, saying different things. That's what happens when we become like pseudo celebrities, especially on there. And so that blue check kind of just verified me, but it also verified other people in my mind. And I'm sickened by the fact that now anybody can have a check, so I don't know what's real and what's not anymore. All you have to do is pay $8 and pretend to be anybody in the world that you want.
And the best part is, Don, they're doing it under the guise of no. By paying the $8, you're able to guarantee that you're a real person and not a bot.
Okay.
And it's like, well, why can't you do that right now then?
But how about the first day it happened and then somebody claiming that they weren't a bot, but they were Connor McDavid saying that he just got traded to the Islanders. Like, that's the stuff. I mean, I'm using it for news and information, and I want people to be able to trust
that it's real
me
news and information
when I'm sending things out. Not because of – because somebody asked me, he's like, what does it matter how many followers you have? What does it matter if you have a blue check? It just confirms that it's all in the up and up, and now it just seems – way too random.
All right, Kimberly Martin tweeted, and this is the real Kimberly Martin. She tweeted, Jets GM Joe Douglas on Aaron Rodgers' trade. They've had productive convos with Packers, but both sides are not where they need to be.
Okay, but there's still time.
Anyone willing to come to my side yet and agree that this isn't necessarily going perfectly? I've been sitting on this side for a while now. I'm sorry. You can't tell me that. I heard someone say yesterday, all signs point to it's happening. All signs? Most signs. Most signs. I am maintaining this is not a done deal.
It's done.
It's done.
In my mind, it's done. I can't go down that path with you.
What? But when has there been a done deal that takes this long?
Because they obviously want the 13th overall pick. The Jets don't want to give it up. But are the Packers really going to go into next year, cut off their nose to spite their face over one lousy pick and have Aaron Rodgers be their quarterback when they don't want him to be their quarterback anymore?
I would think not. But what you're saying still doesn't sound like done deal. It sounds like they need to suck it up and make one more, whether we believe it or not, major concession. That right. For them is obviously that will be a major
made.
Concession.
But at some point it's going to be made. But when the Jets are on the clock on April 27th, the 13th overall pick goes bye-bye. Are the Packers going to get mad and then take Aaron Rodgers back and go home? Or are they going to have to regroup?
Or are you going to be sitting there watching the draft and all of a sudden we get the little ESPN sounder and the New York Jets have traded the 13th overall pick to the Green Bay Packers? Could happen that day. Thank you.
It could.
Uh-oh. I don't think it will.
But why would it? Because
panic?
Panic out of what?
I don't know.
You know, OTAs hadn't started yet. Now you get to June 1st, I can understand there's panic.
Listen, I watched the negotiation last night on the premiere episode of Succession. There are some really good negotiators out there.
Oh, yeah. And I think
maybe Gutekunst is one of them.
And
maybe he's the man.
Joe Douglas is good, too.
I believe he is.
And one wants the 13th overall pick, and the other one doesn't want to give up the 13th overall pick. But the clock is now ticking. And what are you willing to do?
And what if Woody Johnson grabs the phone like he's Logan Roy in Succession and goes, Joe, trade the damn pick. I'm worried about it. I don't want to think
right.
about this anymore.
Okay. Then the deal gets done.
So either way.
Now, you may not like it, but I do think that's the X factor that Brandt brought up last week. The Packers are probably thinking Woody's going to harass Joe into giving up the 13th overall pick. So if the Jets do, you still get Aaron Rodgers. What makes the deal fall through, Peter? What makes one of the two sides walk away and say, fine, the Jets aren't going to walk away and go, okay, we'll give two first-round picks to Baltimore. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. All right, we'll just go, we'll make a deal for Ryan Tannehill. Oh, we'll have Zach Wilson be our quarterback. No, no, no. The Packers, I guess, could go back and say, all right, we'll have Aaron Rodgers play. But is that really what they want? When Aaron's already says he wants to be a Jet, they've already gone on record saying they don't want him back. They're ready to move on with love. Peter, it's just not going to happen at the timetable you want. It's happening. Quick. What would I be willing to bet?
Oh, yeah, there's a good question. What would you be willing to bet? More season tickets?
I'll resign. I'll walk away from the station.
You'll walk away.
Not the Rangers.
But you'll walk away from the K Show. You sure? There's no upside to this bet.
What do you mean? That's how confident I am.
Yeah, but like if you're right, what do you get? Nothing. You
get to to show you that I was right. You know how you know what? That's important.
I
right?
know. That's very
every
satisfying.
Day. You listen to Michael. Every day is a series of wins and losses.
That's great.
So
that's
it'd be a win.
Now, the quick hoops update brought to you by Bet365. Download the app today. Don, did you ever think that you would have a Final Four matchup?
No.
Between FAU and San Diego State. Because on one side, you got Florida Atlantic and San Diego State. Of course, their first times in the Final Four. Miami's first time in the Final Four. And they're facing UConn on the other side.
And it's not UConn's first time.
It is not. They are
kind of a football twang to it, right? Because I'm sorry, not that I think a lot about San Diego State. But if I do think about San Diego State, it's football.
Well, it's close because they're in the tournament a lot, but I do think of their football team,
I think
too.
Of their football. I know they're the Aztecs because of football.
And FAU I may think of because of football more, too. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's close.
And Miami, of course.
And then, of course, Miami. UConn is the only true blue, old school, not blue blood, but blue blood adjacent, right? Basketball program.
How many, if anybody worked this angle, are there any Catholics at UConn?
Are there any yeah. Catholics
enough
at
that
UConn.
You can go. You can re-earth the Catholics versus convicts T-shirts from the old Miami Notre Dame days.
No, you'd have to replace Catholics, and I don't think people think that about the Miami basketball.
I'm just. I was thinking.
What year? What year was that?
88. Well, it was with Jimmy Johnson was there. So yeah, like 88, 87.
Wow. But what a whack! I got to tell you, man. For someone whose team is out of the tournament, the way this has played out, I don't know how you feel, Don. I'm not saying you've been. I'm sure you haven't been locked into everything. But this wacky a tournament has made me much more into it with my team out. Like just seeing that everything, when I'm just turning on and every game is the one seed losing. Anthony, when was the last time that this many one seeds were gone?
Never.
Never.
There's never been
a Final Four without one.
Or I believe an Elite Eight either, but that could be wrong.
It's pretty amazing.
I know that this is the first time that we've never had
1-1 in the Final Four.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
And how many questionable ones were there? Was Purdue a questionable one?
Oh, evidently so. I mean,
obviously they all were.
Yeah, Houston apparently was.
First time ever the Elite Eight didn't have any ones either.
The Elite Eight didn't.
I should trust myself. Sometimes.
No. Here's what you should trust: that if the Elite Eight has never had one, certainly the Final Four has never had.
Well,
one.
Well, right. That's a good point. You know what?
So
it's
is
only
this,
Monday.
So is this a miracle of miracles, or did the committee do a bad job?
That's a really good point. Or is there just a spot now in college basketball where your number ones in this era are never going to be true number ones the way they were? I mean, and by the way, what are you right now? Is Gonzaga? We were looking for an equivalent of Gonzaga the other day. Is the equivalent just the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, maybe.
Is that just kind of who they are?
Maybe.
A really good team
that
cannot win.
Just can't win. Sad.
Sad to see Princeton come to the end of the road, and it was kind of clear early that's the way it was going. They were never really.
Still felt good about it. It was they have to feel good to get a couple of wins the way that they did.
All right,
that was cool.
Who would be the most fun of these four to see win? I'm gonna go. The most crazy sounding to me is FAU. If they were the national champions,
yeah, that would be strange.
I mean, San Diego State would be crazy, but Florida Atlantic University being your national, can you imagine what that would do to that program? If any of these teams but UConn, like I'm not gonna say it's irrelevant. Of course, it's a big deal if UConn wins, but they're UConn. They're UConn. They're going
right.
to be UConn.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to win for another 10 years. They're going to be UConn.
And they haven't won since the Kemba team, right?
Yeah.
And even that was a shock.
And even that was a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, what was that?
12
years ago? 12 years ago? So for the other three teams involved, it's an absolutely university and program changing win. It just changes everything. So pretty fascinating stuff. We got to get some Diamond Notes in a little bit. We got to get to Michael K in a little bit as he gets through the. What's the word again for when slog? That is an MLB. Even at 2 hours, it's a slog when it comes to spring training.
We're
going
to test this thing when we get to the regular season because like there's going to be a day where Michael is going to have a day game. Oh, he won't be on until 5:30. Well, he might be on at 3:30 the way these games are going during the spring. Let's see if it carries over to the regular season.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Anthony Volpe situation. Don came in practically skipping about it.
I'm just happy for the kid. I'm not a Yankee fan, but I'm happy for him. I saw him play in Somerset, and it would be the right thing to do. They would have been wrong to send him down.
Yeah, no, at this point, it seemed like it had to be the thing. By the way, coming up at 4:20, we continue on with Drop Madness as well. You can follow along on TMKS ESPN on Twitter. We're talking about everything right now. Let's go to Nick in Middletown. Nick, what's happening?
Hey, how you doing, guys? You guys have a good vibe. I enjoy listening to it.
Thanks, friend.
Trying to be a rational Nick fan like the previous caller, but I'm trying to be a rational Nick, Met, and Jet fan, so I'm damaged goods. But right now in front of us is Knicks. And I was watching the Mets-Cleveland game the other day, and they kicked it out to Okoro in the corner with about 2 seconds left, and he hit the game-winning shot. And I thought, that is something the Knicks would never do. They don't trust their third, fourth, fifth options. They keep banging it out to Randall, dribbling at the top of the key. And that stubbornness, I think, is going to be, I could foresee it being our downfall when it comes to the end of the season or in playoffs. because he keeps doing it. And I don't know if it's Randall or Thibodeau, but these guys got to hear this. Maybe they listen to the radio or something, but everybody screams the same thing. I don't know what you guys think.
Well, here's the thing. I think there's a variety of different things that could, in fact, be the downfall of the New York Knicks. I don't know if it's that specifically. To me, Don, I hate to say that. I don't know if there is a downfall, because I still think this team could be something in the playoffs.
Sure.
But for me, if there's one specific thing I point a finger to, and this has now become kind of a thing that's come up on the show several times over the last week, it's R.J. Barrett not being what was hoped.
Not even close.
And literally, like, that he was potentially the big holdup in them getting someone like a Donovan Mitchell. That's, I think, what kills you. Because right now, in spite of everything that is, you know, had been not ideal with Julius Randle, you really can't say that the guy has not delivered far and away for the most of this season.
Yeah.
He has. Yes, the last couple of weeks have not been great, but ultimately he's done his job. Jalen Brunson,
to be healthy.
Yeah, up until the last couple of weeks with the injuries, has given you everything that you could hope for. So to me, the piece that you kept waiting to take the turn and to turn the corner, while he's had moments, and especially in the last week, RJ had a couple of good games in the last week, but by and large, RJ Barrett has not been the marquee player that they expected him to be.
No. And how much does this fall on coaching? I hate to be always the one to bring up Thibodeau not having rings, but I think sometimes it's a given, well, the coach is great. Well, they haven't played well defensively. He's supposed to be a defensive-minded coach. Why is he exempt from any criticism?
And we are in the middle of the Knicks preview brought to you by Jack Pocket. Of course, the Knicks with Houston tonight, the lowly Houston Rockets. And you're right. I do think it's sort of weird that Tibbs never seems to be the one getting blamed. There's a lot of stuff that gets thrown at Randall. And you hear us right now heaping it on R.J. Barrett. It seems like nobody talks about Tibbs as if he's already won three rings with his team.
He comes with a very powerful reputation for somebody that has not won. Kind of, maybe not apples to apples, but kind of a Buck vibe.
With even less than Buck, though?
Yeah, no, way less than Buck.
Like,
it's only two places, right?
Yeah, it's a lot less than
and
Buck.
And most of it comes from what he did in Chicago.
And remember that the second Buck leaves the Yankees, and a second later they win the World Series.
Buck?
You know, like,
right.
Tibbs didn't leave the Bulls and they won a championship the next year.
But I guess the only reason I say vibe is because it does seem like he comes with a lot of respect for somebody that hasn't won a ring.
Mm-hmm.
Did we just automatically assume great coach? He's the reason for the turnaround. Seems like whenever there's something to compliment about the team, he's the first thing you compliment. But he's never the first thing you criticize when it kind of falls apart. So why is he exempt from criticism here, if indeed they do fall apart? They're 13.5-point favorites tonight. They can't lose.
Holy crap.
Peter, they can't.
No. Let me say this. I'm not saying, like, in any way their season's over if they lose. If they lose to the Houston Rockets at home, they're at home, right?
Yeah.
If they lose to the Rockets at home, you cannot deny that at this moment they are in free fall.
A massive, massive free fall.
That's free fall.
Because you're talking about back-to-back losses to Orlando and to Houston. Now, I know Orlando is probably better than their record right now. They just beat the Nets. But it's Orlando. And you need wins. You can't be losing to teams that are out. Orlando isn't as bad as Detroit, but they're still 11 games under 500.
Right, but this is significantly worse. One man who knows
they
his Knicks is Spike. What's up, Spike?
Hey, boys. I'm anxious to hear the six sports you played with Marco. I was telling my wife, I said, what a wonderful 90 minutes.
Oh, it was.
I can't wait to hear that. But well, let's get right to the chase here on this. A week ago, we're looking for the fourth seed. And, you know, this is my time to call. And then I think I know my team. I'm very disheartened by it. But the Tibbs, I call every night. It's my want to call Aaron and Gordon. It's fresh, and then we go over it in the regulars call. We break the game down like we know something, but we think we do. First thing that happens, get rid of the coach, Peter. So one of you guys said something. Yep. They're all ready to get rid of him. I mean, and look, they win tonight. Well, technically, they could just beat. It works out, and everything's been working out their way. Brooklyn had a game the other night against Miami. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this. Miami scored 60-some-odd points in the first half, and in the third and fourth quarter, in either one and combined of those quarters, the points scored in the first and second quarter exceeded that. It was something like, 68, and they had 29 or 30, something like that. I've never seen a team shut down like that. Everyone wants to play in the Garden. Listen, this Knicks team, we know what the problem is. I'm tired of banging on a great, talented basketball player. Peter, you were very kind to me Friday about Julius Randle with the three-minute mark. You gave me my props. I appreciate that. But I'm not that smart. I'm really not. I'm observant. I'm observant. Something happens, and you have to address that. And the best thing to do, and it's impossible to do, because Godspeed to this guy, I hope it doesn't leave the 94-50, is to take him out of the game with 4 minutes to go. The Knicks are like 32% team when he's in blown leads at the end.
It's wild, Spike.
Amazing.
No, and that's why I pointed out how good an observation it was, because great players are supposed to be better in the last 3 minutes. That's what they do.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.